Leave that up there for just a moment.
Appreciate the scripture reading from Brother Jack. We're going to be preaching the sermon this morning, not just me. It will actually be each and every one of us. Of course, the lead in the service will be by the men of the congregation. But each one will be involved in it because we're going to be singing songs in connection with the lesson this morning also. As you see, have on the board, what does it mean to you? And this is a five-part series. And so each Sunday morning, we're going to be looking at the different elements of worship. And we're going to be handling it much the same way that we are this morning. There'll be thoughts that are given by me, scriptures that are read, and then also songs that are sung in connection with the teaching from God's Word. No in particular order. There is not one crown jewel of worship that we have from God. All of them are equal. I just decided to go ahead and start this morning with the Lord's Supper and looking at the Lord's Supper and asking the question, what does the Lord's Supper mean to you? I'll be calling on men to come up periodically to lead singing, and some will be reading scripture. I'll try to call you up before I ask you to sing so that we're not waiting and watching you walk forward and not having a parade in that way to keep things moving. I'll ask you to come to the front. As we look at this particular study, what does the Lord's Supper mean to you? It is amazing to me that as you look at verse 26 that Jack read for us from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, where Paul says, "For often as you do this, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And right there we have the reason and the meaning to us of what the Lord's Supper is all about. And we'll talk about that more in detail in just a moment. But as we look at this, we understand and we look at what the world has done and even brethren have done with the Lord's Supper. And it has taken away the focus of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, chapter verse 26, the proclamation of the Lord's death, that individual proclamation that we make as forgiven children of God based upon the death of Christ Jesus. And brethren even have focused in on the number of cups that we use. Brethren have focused in on the time of day that the supper is to be partaken. The number of times it is offered. Who partakes of the Lord's Supper as far as one take, all take doctrine and so forth. And they get away from the focus that Paul mentions there in 1 Corinthians 11, chapter verse 26, a proclamation of God's death, of Christ's death on the cross for us. When we look at what the Lord did for us, we really need to pay attention to what we're about to do in contemplation of the remembrance of Christ's death upon the cross. Jake, would you go ahead and come forward, because Jake is going to sing song number 247, verses 1, 2, and 3. Song number 247, "Were You There?" is the name of the song. And as we think about this, and we look at the words of that song, and we think back, I think that part of the proclamation, the individual proclamation of Christ's death individually for each of us, is as though we were there at the cross because He died for each and every one of us. So let's sing this song, and then I'll come back and make a few comments. Brother Jake.
Number 247, "Were You There?"
So, were You there when they crucified my Lord? Were You there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, to shine.
Were you there? We, of course, physically weren't there, but we've been taken there through God's Word. We've been taken there through all the things that had been done to Him just prior to His death. We've been taken there in the pictures of our mind presented to us by these word pictures that we have in Scripture, as though we are standing at the foot of the cross, as though we are listening to all the accusations that are made against Him, the people walking by and seeing them wag their heads, and calling for Him to come down from the cross, and then we will believe, even though they were not telling the truth. To hear the religious leaders of the day say, He's calling upon Elijah, let's see if Elijah will come back, let's see if God will have him. And we were there listening to those things that were being said and the things that were done to Jesus as he was hanging there upon the cross. We are told, as we mentioned in 1 Corinthians 11, chapter verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth or proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. And that word proclaim means to announce, declare, promulgate, make known, to proclaim publicly, to publish. And none of that is in connection with any sort of outward show, but rather the spiritual attitude and feelings that we have from what Christ did for us upon the cross. The supper is an individual worship in an assembly setting. It is very personal to each and every one of us based upon what we have been forgiven of. We can put it as a whole, we've been forgiven of all of our sins and not remembered anymore, as we see in Hebrews 8 chapter and verse 12. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more, but we know the past life that we lived. And we know what has been forgiven us in becoming children of God. But again, it's very individual. Brother Darrell Glover is going to read verses 26 through 30 once again for us in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. Brother Darrell, would you please read that?
For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep.
I want you to notice the individual application. In connection with this portion of worship, this element of worship that we engage in, as we look, as Brother Darrell read in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth or proclaim the Lord's death. And so then he also says in verse 28, but let a man examine himself, let a person, each and every one of us, examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Verse 29, for he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself. And so then he says in verse 30, because there is not a true discernment of the Lord's death and the meaning in your own life, he says that that is the reason that there are some that are spiritually weak and spiritually sick among you. And many are spiritually comatose, sleep. We'll ask Jake to come up one more time. At this point, he will be singing song 198. If you would go ahead and come on up, Jake. And that song is Exalted. And the reason for singing this song is that the supper really is an exaltation of Christ Jesus and what He did for us upon the cross. Even though He was reviled and rejected of men, even though He hung on a cross, which was usually dedicated to those that were felons and criminals, and even though He was hanging between two thieves, the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world was hanging upon the cross, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. And so we take that to heart and recognize that even though He may have been accounted as a criminal that day, He was not. But yet in doing so, He is exalted, and He must be exalted in our lives. He must be exalted in our lives. Think about that from Philippians the second chapter, verses 5 through 11. Philippians the second chapter, verses 5 through 11. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. I find that wording very interesting to start with. First of all, he says, you have these thoughts and this attitude. That's that term, let this mind be in you. And he doesn't say, which also was in Christ Jesus, but is in Christ Jesus. Do you understand that that goes back to Him becoming flesh, coming to this earth, and continues on until time is no more? And here is the mind, not was, but is the mind, that is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, being made himself no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus Christ still serves us today. He is serving us just as he did upon the earth 2,000 years ago. He's serving as our mediator through God's word. He is serving as our advocate in connection with forgiveness of sins. And he serves as our intercessor when we approach the throne of grace of God. Still serving us today. Being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus had made the statement, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down. I give it freely. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue in heaven, and the things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That proclamation that we make of the Lord's death until he comes is really not seen just in the physical partaking of the Lord's Supper. That's part of it. But it's in the life that we lead, not only here at this building as we enter into worship, but in our everyday walk of life. We are making a proclamation of Christ Jesus, exalting Him for the forgiveness of sins that we receive from Him. Let us now sing all the verses of song number 198, Exalted. Brother Jake.
Let's pay attention to the notation. Each stanza starts off soft and grows a little louder by the end of the stanza.
Sent as
does our life cry out exalted to the Savior. As we go out from this building this morning, we're going to be going right back into the world. Hopefully coming back at 2 o'clock, but we'll go back into the world once again. Will people recognize us by our attitude, action, our speech, that we are different? And the reason being is that we must glorify and exalt Christ Jesus in our life, because we've been forgiven of so much. Raymond, I'm going to ask you to come to the front, if you don't mind, brother. Jesus' purpose was to die for us. That's the reason that He came to this earth. When we look over in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and we look there at verse 1, it says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect." The law, the Mosaic law, was never given for salvation. It was never given to all people. It was only for the Jews. And it was given for the purpose of keeping those Jews in covenant relationship with Christ, the bringing forth of Jesus by lineage, but looking forward to that Messiah, that Christ, that Savior, for forgiveness of sins. And the sacrifices that they offered could not forgive unto salvation. "For then would they not have ceased to be offered," verse 2, "because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is remembrance again made every year of the sins that they committed." Can you imagine that? Living that with over your head at all times. All the sins that you ever committed, they were there and a remembrance made every year of that and thrown back into your face. Not because God was uncaring, but because the sacrifices would not forgive unto salvation. And so he says in verse 4, "For it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world," verse 5, he says, "sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body you have prepared me." The purpose for that coming of the Lord was to be the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. "In burnt offering and sacrifices for sins, you've had no pleasure." And what he means by that is the shed blood of animals would not suffice unto absolute forgiveness. "Then said I," verse 7, "I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when it said, sacrificing and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure in them, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He takes away the first, that is the first covenant, those sacrifices, the looking forward to the Messiah, to the Christ. And he establishes the second in and through Christ Jesus. Verse 10, "By the which will we are sanctified, cleansed, made saints, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." And John the Baptizer, the next day after he had baptized Christ Jesus, and Jesus was not baptized because he needed remission of sins. He was baptized to show us an example. But his statement in John, the first chapter, in verse 29, the next day, John sees Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, it takes away the sins of the world." Brother Wayman.
"Your only Son, no sin to hide, but you have sent him from your side. The humble sacrifice the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. O wash me in this precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side, to be led by your staff and rod, and to be called a Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. O wash me in His precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God.
When a sin offering was made by the Jews in the Mosaic Law, you sinned, you were to offer a sacrifice, you would bring your own lamb at your own expense. The lamb that's been provided for us was provided by God the Father and by the Lamb Himself, Jesus Christ, at no expense to us. I want us to think about that. First of all, if you're not a Christian, the sacrificial lamb at no expense has already been given and offered for you. Nothing out of pocket. And for those of us that are Christians, the same is true also. That sacrificial lamb has been offered by God the Father. And as a matter of fact, if we sin, if we slip in our lives and we need forgiveness of sin, it is still the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from our sin. And we see that in 1 John 2 chapter verses 1 and 2. Because He is a propitiation not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. So we do not sin, but if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, at no charge to us, but at great charge to the Father and to the Son Himself. Jesus Christ, as we look at it, He is the sacrifice for my sins. That can be said by each and every one of us. That's that personal aspect. And we see that personal aspect that is presented to us in 1 Timothy 2, verses 4 through 6. 1 Timothy 2, verses 4 through 6. It says there, "Who desired all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Here we are in this congregational setting. And Sandy's going to read for us about this congregational setting in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 18, 20, and 33. 1 Corinthians 11, 18, 20, and 23. Brother?
Verse 18, "For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear the divisions exist among you, and in part I believe it. Verse 30, "For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep." Verse 33, "So then, brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another."
In each one of those verses, it was verse 20 and not 30.
Oh, sorry.
That's quite all right. In each one of those verses, it says, "When you come together." And we understand that we're all together because we're all in the same boat. We started out, before becoming Christian, in sin. Paul makes that statement, Romans, the 3rd chapter, verse 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we come together in that sense, but also, as we understand, when we come together, this, as we said earlier, is very personal. And it is not common. It's not a common meal. Stephen is going to read for us verses 22 and 34 of 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. Brother Stephen.
I'm reading from the ESV, so verse 22. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. And verse 34, if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come.
The Corinthians had turned the Lord's Supper into a common meal, of which it never was, even whenever it was instituted, as we find out in Matthew, the 26th chapter, and also Luke, the 22nd chapter. It was not a common meal because it was after the type of the Passover. And that was not a common meal. That wasn't something they ate every day or did every day. They did that once a year. In remembrance of their deliverance from, as a people, from Egypt. And in the same manner, this is not a common meal, and we don't have a fellowship hall at this congregation because we are here to feed upon God's Word and not upon physical food. We will have time for physical food. And if you're with us long enough, when it's not 100 degrees, you'll understand, because you'll be invited to houses and then a whole bunch will be there. And so this is very special. It's not a common meal. And his sacrifice, then, we understand, is also very special, as we said, from 1 Timothy 2, verses 4 through 6. Jake, go ahead and come on forward. Because it is the sacrifice for my sins. And each and every one of us could say those exact words. This is a sacrifice for my sins. Brother Jake is going to sing, He Carried My Sorrows. Song number 229. He Carried My Sorrows. Brother Jake.
All verses?
Yes, sir.
He Carried My Sorrows.
He carried my sorrows, He bore my griefs. Was this for transgression? Through His blood.
poor by his oppression. I worship my King,
my Savior, my King.
If my heart mourns his chastening, my tears still fall.
His oppression makes it possible that we worship him. We come here today, and as we said, the question of this lesson is, what does the supper of the Lord mean to you? I'll just be honest. If it takes lessons like this for there to be meaning in our life, for there to be meaning in our worship to God, to be meaning in partaking of the Lord's Supper, we're in sad shape. Because that should be a continual thought that is before us each and every time that we come together and each and every day of our life. I have been forgiven. He suffered for us, and he suffered for us greatly. Brother Richie, will you come forward? And we're going to look, first of all, at 1 Peter, the second chapter. 1 Peter 2, and there we look at verses 18 through 25. And Peter says this, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward," or to the harsh. "For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when we are buffeted for your, when you are buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if then, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." It's a comment that we made in class. I think it was on Wednesday night, that one of the barometers of our true Christianity is whether or not we have suffered persecution. If no one recognizes that we're a Christian and we never suffer persecution because we're just like everyone else in the crowd, we're not truly Christians. Because Paul said, those that will live godly will suffer persecution, not might or maybe. And I'm not talking about being beaten with rods. So far, that's not taking place in these United States. But it could be that we lose friends. It could be that we might even lose a job. It could be that we might lose a promotion. All those other things because of the cause of Christ. And that's persecution. Peter then says in verse 21, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. For we were as sheep going astray, but we are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls." That should be on our minds every time that we partake of the Lord's Supper, not just from a lesson like this, with this involvement. It's no less special when we don't have a lesson like this. It is always special because of what Christ did for us and because of the remembrance that is to be made every first day of the week. Jesus suffered greatly for us. And there needs to be some suffering in our life. We're going to ask Richie, if you would, to lead for us, I Gave My Life for Thee, song number 235. Brother Richie.
I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might'st ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory circle throne, I left for earthly night, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? I suffered much for thee, more than thy tongue can tell. Salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought for me? I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me?
That song is based on the words of our Lord, the actions of our Lord, in a question that is meant for us to look at ourselves, to examine ourselves. What have you brought for me? Look at what I have done for you. And as we look at that song, we understand that in that great suffering, where he gave himself for us, that he never forgot me and he's never forgotten you, even in death. Jack, why don't you come forward, if you would, please, sir. Jack will be singing song number 246, Lead Me to Calvary. Before he sings that, we look at Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 8 through 10. And Paul says this concerning Christ Jesus, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Another way to say that is that he led a multitude of captives. By him going to the cross, he led a multitude of captives for the forgiveness of sins. Those that were captive under the bondage of sin. The prince of the power of the air, as Paul explains in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 3. Now that he ascended, what is it also, but that he descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all things, that he might fill or fulfill all things. Our Savior, even in that stressful time that he went through, never forgot us. And after going through all of that, we are not forgotten. It's not a work completed, a box checked, done and over, but still we are on the desires and the mind of our Father and the Son that gave Himself for us. We're going to sing now song number 246. Brother Jack, would you please lead us in that song, Lead Me to Calvary.
Lest I forget thy love.
I don't know what more we could say, what more we could sing, but we are going to sing and say some more. To put us in a mind frame that should have already been with us when we came to the building this morning. Of what Christ has done for us individually, the meaning personal in our life about me, not about others. Not focusing on the physical, which is only incidental, but on that which is spiritual in connection with the forgiveness of our sins. I don't know what more we could do. But let's do some more. Ethan, if you'll come forward, we're going to be singing here in just a moment, song number 220. Would you please put that on the board? Song number 220. And that song is Night with Eben Pinion. Let me ask you, do you know what that means, Eben Pinion? And in one of these lessons, we're going to be talking about singing. And singing is more than just opening our mouths and singing notes. It's about really understanding. Let's look at this. Night with Eben Pinion. That is wings of darkness. Eben, we get our word ebony from that. That is black or dark. Pinion, the pinion bones as of birds. And I think back to that, of course, and the death of Christ took place. It started at night. And we see in Matthew 27, verse 45, now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. When I read that and I think about it, I think about not only the sorrow of Christ Jesus and what he had already gone through before he went to the cross, but I also think about his disciples and the sorrow because now their leader has been taken from them. But I think also in a symbolic way, the earth was mourning, and that there was darkness over the whole face of the earth. And what is being said here, it is as though the wings of darkness brooded o'er the veil, death hovered near over him as a flock of vultures. And the vultures had already gone out prior to that, and we see that it began to gather when we look in John the 13th chapter, verses 27 through 30. Now, after the piece of bread, that is in reference to the Lord's Supper, Satan entered him, that is Judas. Then said he to him, what you do, do quickly. But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. For some thought, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus had said to him, buy those things we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Having received the piece of bread, he went out immediately, and it was night. And this betrayer began to gather the vultures together that would come and take Jesus Christ, that would watch over him through the night in a trial that should have been never taken place because it was unlawful even under the Mosaic law. And that death would come upon him even in daylight in which there was still that darkness. The vultures were there. The man of sorrows are mentioned in this song, which comes from Isaiah the 53rd chapter. In verse 3, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. They were in unbelief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. I am sure that at some point we might have all said, if I was there, it would be different. No, it wouldn't. I really believe that each and every one of us would have joined in. It says, in his tears and blood sweat, he prayed. And we see that from Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse 44. The stress was so great upon him because he knew what was going to take place to him that when he sweat, blood came out. He was smitten for offenses not his own. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities. He did no sin, no guile. 1 Peter 2 and verse 22, where we read earlier. And so he raised his voice to God. And he did that prior to going to the cross. He did that in the garden. He prayed three times, Lord, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, as we see in Luke, the 22nd chapter and verse 44. But not my will, but thine be done. And yet his voice still raised to God even while he was on the cross. He raised his voice seven times while on that cross for us. First of all, in Luke 23 and verse 34, he did not forget about mankind, the ones that were even putting him to death. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. on that cross suffering, had already been beaten nearly to death. And that was the only reason that he did not last long upon the cross. He was near to death already when he went on that cross. He still prayed for us. Forgive them, they know not what they do. John, the 19th chapter, verse 26 and 27, he never forgot his responsibilities, even as a son. Mother, behold thy son. John, behold thy mother. Making provision for her, even in this time of great trial, pain, and agony. He didn't forget his responsibility, just as we are not to forget. Matthew 27, verse 46. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God had never forsaken him and would not forsake him and never turned his back on him. But what he was doing was showing to the Jews, you are putting to death the one that was prophesied of, I am the Christ. And that was the purpose for that cry. His humanity comes out as his life is passing from him. In John, the 19th chapter, verse 28, I thirst, he says. John 19, verse 30, he says, it is finished. The purpose that I have come for, the reason that I came into this world, it is done. And so then he says in Luke 23, verse 46, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. He knew who to commit himself to and gives us an indication also of who we are to commit ourselves to, the God of heaven. Ethan is going to sing the song, Night with Evan Pinion, verse song number 220. And then we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. And then we'll continue this lesson afterwards. Brother Ethan.
Nights with Evan Pinion, brooded o'er the veil, all around was silent, save the night wind's wail. Christ, the man of sorrow,
this lesson this morning has helped prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, we will partake of those emblems at this time. Ask you to bow your heads and pray. Our Father, we come before you at this time, thanking you for all the blessings that you've given to us. We're most especially thankful for your Son, the love that he had, that he would willingly give his life for us. He took the death that we deserve. He took our place. I pray that we would partake of this bread, which represents your Son's body, that was broken on that cruel cross on our behalf. And we do so in a willing manner that is pleasing to you. Amen.
If you would please bow again. Our righteous and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this beautiful Lord's Day morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the plan of salvation that was put in place for before the world began. Dear Heavenly Father, we're also very thankful for your Son, the cornerstone of that plan. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the blood that was shed that covers our sins. Dear Heavenly Father, we hope and pray that as we partake in this fruit of the vine which represents his shed blood, we may do so in a manner well pleasing in thy sight. In your Son's blessed name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Jake, go ahead and come on back up. Appreciate the involvement by all the brethren this morning. As children of God, Christians, it should not be any urging for us to remember what Christ did for us. What a blessing, what a joy. But if you're not a child of God, you don't have that joy. You don't have that blessing. You are not making proclamation of Christ Jesus until he comes, because you've not become obedient to him. I speak to you this morning that are not Christians with the urging that we have from Scripture to become a child of God, to turn toward him, to be obedient even unto the baptism for the remission of your sins. And all of that in connection with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. In Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 47 through 54, when you look at that account and John's account, you put it all together, you have Peter who strikes off the ear of the servant of the high priest that comes out to arrest Jesus. Jesus tells Peter, put up your sword. Do you not know that I could presently call for 12 legions of angels to come and take me out of this situation? But he did not call on them because he knew what he had to do. And he did it for you. And he did it for us. If you're not a child of God, remember what he did not do that day in calling those angels. If you are a child of God, let every aspect of our worship be that which is spiritual and meaningful in our lives. Not only just what we did here, but in everything that we do in each and every day walk of our life, because worship does not end when the doors close here at this building. It continues on in the type of life that we live. We're going to be singing song number 238. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he did not. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.
Watch my hand on the notation. We're going to start off softer and slower, and then grow to very loud and faster for the chorus.
Set him free. He could have called 10,000.
seated.
We have remembered the Lord's death. We have made the invitation of the gospel present to you. This is not the only time that it can be adhered to. If at any point in time you wish to become a child of God, just let a child of God know, and we'll make provisions for that. At this time, we change our minds and our thoughts because we need to give and return to God that which He has supplied unto us. And so we will do that at this time.
Father, thank you for this opportunity that we have now to give back to you. Please help us to give with the right hearts. Help us to be glad in our giving today. Father, we know that you give us so many of our blessings. We know that you don't need our financial support, but instead this opportunity is for us and for us to help spread your word so that others can come to you someday. Please help us to remember your Son and all that He sacrificed as we make a small, incomparable sacrifice to you today. In your Son's name, amen.